Topic 26. How to balance resources. We all manage resources whenever we code. Memory, transactions, threads, network connections, files, timers, all kinds of things with limited availability. Most of the time, resource usage follows a predictable pattern. You allocate the resource, use it, and then deallocate it. However, many developers have no consistent plan for dealing with resource allocation and deallocation. So, let us suggest a simple tip. Tip 40. Finish what you start. This tip is easy to apply in most circumstances. It simply means that the function or object that allocates a resource should be responsible for deallocating it. Let's see how it applies by looking at an example of some bad code. Part of a Ruby program that opens a file, reads customer information from it, updates a field, and writes the result back. I'll let Dave describe it.
The initial attempt at the code consisted of three functions: read customer, write customer, and update customer. Read customer opens a file and reads from it a balance, and it stores both the open file and the balance in instance variables. Write customer takes that file instance variable, rewinds it, stores an updated balance in it, and then closes the file. And then these are both called by the update customer function, which reads the customer record by calling the first function, updates a balance, and then writes the customer record back again. Now, at first sight, update customer may look reasonable. It kind of implements the logic we wanted. It reads a record, updates the balance, and writes the record back out. But there's a really big problem hiding in there. The routines read customer and write customer are tightly coupled. They share the instance variable customer file. So read customer opens it, and then write customer uses that reference to close the file later on. That shared variable doesn't even appear in the update customer routine. So why is that bad? Well, let's consider the unfortunate maintenance programmer who's told that the specification has changed. The balance should be updated only if the new value is not negative. They go into the source and they change the update customer function. It'll read something like this: def update customer transaction amount. Read customer. If transaction amount is greater than or equal to zero, balance equals balance.add transaction amount. Write customer, end. And all seems fine during testing. But when the code goes into production, it collapses after several hours, complaining of too many open files. It turns out that write customer is not getting called if the transaction amount is less than zero. And when that happens, the file's not getting closed. A very bad fix for this would be to deal with the special case in update customer itself. Something like def update customer read customer. If at transaction amount is greater than or equal to zero, balance equals balance plus transaction amount, write customer, else at customer file.close. Now that fixes the problem. The file will now get closed regardless of the new balance. But the fix now means that three routines are coupled through the shared variable customer file, and keeping track of when the file is open or not is going to start getting really messy. We're falling into a trap, and things are going to start going downhill rapidly if we continue on this course. This is not balanced use of resources. The finish what you start tip tells us that, ideally, the routine that allocates a resource should also free it. We'll apply it here by refactoring the code. We'll change read customer and write customer so that they both take an open file. They aren't going to do any opening or closing themselves. Instead, update customer is now going to open the file and then pass it to read customer, update the balance, and then close the file itself. And that way, all of the code that has to do with file opening and closing is in one place. So this balances the use of the file. Open and close are in the same place, and it's apparent that for every open, there'll be a corresponding close. We've also got rid of this ugly shared instance variable, the open file. However, we haven't quite finished yet. What would happen if we had an exception raised in the middle of the processing. Well, we'd still potentially leave an open file. In Ruby, you can do that with a variation of file open that takes a block. It passes the block the open file and then guarantees to close it by the time the block is exited, even if there is an exception raised in the middle. Nice thing about this is that the scope of that file resource is explicit in the code. It's between the do and end of that block.
When in doubt, it always pays to reduce scope. Tip 41. Act locally. The basic pattern for resource allocation can be extended for routines that need more than one resource at a time. There are just two more suggestions. Deallocate resources in the opposite order to that in which you allocate them. That way, you won't orphan resources if one resource contains references to another. When allocating the same set of resources in different places in your code, always allocate them in the same order. This will reduce the possibility of deadlock. If process A claims resource 1 and is about to claim resource 2, while process B has claimed resource 2 and is trying to get resource 1, the two processes will wait forever. It doesn't matter what kind of resources we're using. Transactions, network connections, memory, files, threads, windows, the basic pattern applies. Whoever allocates a resource should be responsible for deallocating it. However, in some languages, we can develop the concept further. Objects and exceptions. The equilibrium between allocations and deallocations is reminiscent of an object-oriented class's constructor and destructor. The class represents a resource, the constructor gives you a particular object of that resource type, and the destructor removes it from your scope. If you are programming in an object-oriented language, you may find it useful to encapsulate resources in classes. Each time you need a particular resource type, you instantiate an object of that class. When the object goes out of scope, or is reclaimed by the garbage collector, the object's destructor then deallocates the wrapped resource. This approach has particular benefits when you're working with languages where exceptions can interfere with resource deallocation. Balancing and exceptions. Languages that support exceptions can make resource deallocation tricky. If an exception is thrown, how do you guarantee that everything allocated prior to the exception is tidied up? The answer depends to some extent on the language support. You generally have two choices. One, use variable scope, for example, stack variables in C++ or Rust. Or two, use a finally clause in a try-catch block. With usual scoping rules in languages such as C++ or Rust, the variable's memory will be reclaimed when the variable goes out of scope via return, block exit, or exception. But you can also hook into the variable's destructor to clean up any external resources. In the Rust language, for example, if you open a file inside a block, it will automatically be closed when the block exits. The other option, if the language supports it, is the finally clause. A finally clause will ensure that the specified code will run whether or not an exception was raised in the try-catch block. An exception anti-pattern. We commonly see folks writing something like this. Begin. Thing equals allocate resource. Process thing. Finally, deallocate thing. End. Can you tell what's wrong? What happens if the resource allocation fails and raises an exception? The finally clause will catch it and try to deallocate a thing that was never allocated. The correct pattern for handling resource deallocation in an environment with exceptions is thing equals allocate resource, begin, process thing, finally, deallocate thing, end. When you can't balance resources. There are times when the basic resource allocation pattern just isn't appropriate. Commonly, this is found in programs that use dynamic data structures. One routine will allocate an area of memory and link it into some larger structure, where it may stay for some time. The trick here is to establish a semantic invariant for memory allocation. You need to decide who is responsible for data in an aggregate data structure. What happens when you deallocate the top-level structure? You have three main options. 1. The top-level structure is also responsible for freeing any substructures that it contains. These structures then recursively delete data they contain, and so on. 2. The top-level structure is simply deallocated. Any structures that it pointed to, that are not referenced elsewhere, are orphaned. 3. The top-level structure refuses to deallocate itself if it contains any substructures. The choice here depends on the circumstances of each individual data structure. However, you need to make it explicit for each, and implement your decision consistently. Implementing any of these options in a procedural language such as C can be a problem. Data structures themselves are not active. Our preference in these circumstances is to write a module for each major structure that provides standard allocation and deallocation facilities for that structure. This module can also provide facilities such as debug printing, serialization, deserialization, and traversal hooks. Checking the balance. Because pragmatic programmers trust no one, including ourselves, we feel that it is always a good idea to build code that actually checks that resources are indeed freed appropriately. For most applications, this normally means producing wrappers for each type of resource, and using these wrappers to keep track of all allocations and deallocations. At certain points in your code, the program logic will dictate that the resources will be in a certain state. Use the wrappers to check this. For example, a long-running program that services requests will probably have a single point at the top of its main processing loop where it waits for the next request to arrive. This is a good place to ensure that resource usage has not increased since the last execution of the loop. At a lower, but no less useful level, you can invest in tools that, among other things, check your running programs for memory leaks.